Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late Don't Wait program. For more information and personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-7555, or you can log on to the SteinerShow.org website, and when you do, you'll find the Maryland Housing Community Development banner. Click it on. All the information is there, as well as information on how you can buy a house in Baltimore City for almost nothing, and they'll back it. Now it's time to buy. So, but now we're talking about something else. We have one of our Urbanite radio stories, a piece written in this month's Urbanite called Mad Dogs and Britons, In Search of the Roots of Defenders Day and a Cold Beer in Edgemere. And one of the authors of that piece was Jim Meyer. You say Meyer or Mayer?
Meyer.
Meyer. I'll let you be a Meyer.
Excuse me?
We'll let you be a Meyer.
Thank you very much. It's worked for 38 years. I'd like to keep it up.
So this holiday is celebrated nowhere else in the world but here in Maryland.
Yeah, just Maryland. It celebrates the defense of Baltimore during the War of 1812. Some would say the saving of the country. Just here.
So, but you took a journey.
Yeah.
Through the east side of the metropolitan area, mm-hmm. in search of people who are dead.
Yeah, pretty much. We never found them either.
So tell us about your journey.
Well, you know, the British Army, after burning Washington, D.C.
And what year are we talking about, though?
That was 1814.
1814.
At the end of the August 20-something.
I have it here because it's in your article, but go ahead and keep talking. I'll figure it out.
August
24th, the British burned Washington, D.C.
Yeah. And, you know, after that, they headed up to Baltimore.
Burned Bladensburg on the way?
They burned Bladensburg on the way into D.C.
Oh, in the way to D.C., okay.
Yeah, the D.C. defenders just fled. The defenders at Fort Washington just saw the British Navy and bugged out. The president was on the run. Dolly Madison had, like, some of our greatest treasures, I guess, under her skirt and was hightailing it. And, you know, the British Army came and picked a fight with Baltimore and never made it here. And I thought, I've got this old British car. Like, maybe I can do something for British pride and get the old Jaguar from East Baltimore all the way to Fort McHenry.
You're not talking about a 2012 Jaguar, though.
No, it's an 86.
That makes a difference.
Yeah. Right. The pinnacle of British engineering. Just.
So anyway, you went on this journey.
Yeah, I took a historian, and we just basically drove through. The British Army basically landed in North Point, came up old North Point Road, and made a left on Philadelphia Road, which is now 40, and made it all the way to basically the edge of the eastern edge of Patterson Park when they were stopped by the British Army or the American Army, and simultaneously they were bombing Fort McHenry and having the national anthem written and all that stuff. But so we drove along and interviewed people along the way to see like what we could find that was still there and
what was still there. Not much.
Not much. There's a battlefield that's just sort of a quarter acre of semi-mowed lawn in Dundalk. And we found the third oldest war memorial in the country, which was built by this guy's unit that was killed, a killer Randall. And it's just in somebody's front yard on old North Point Road next to a drainage ditch across from a tarp repair store, which I don't know who repairs tarps, but...
Now, they're in all seriousness, this particular holiday, which is as close to the cockles of Governor Martin O'Malley's heart,
mm-hmm.
he just loves this holiday.
Yeah.
He's almost obsessed by this holiday.
Yeah, and there's a lot going on. He started the Star-Spangled 200 Maryland Bicentennial Commission, and they've got a lot of events going on in the next 2 years. I guess, you know, this weekend there was a lot of events at Fort McHenry and down in Dundalk as well. But and there's, I guess, a PBS movie premiere coming up in a couple of weeks. It's going to be aired on PBS, but they're having the premiere down at on the 26th of September down at the movie theater at the Harbor. I can't remember what it's called.
Oh,
Harbor East.
Harbor, right.
Yeah. So
Landmark.
That's the one.
Right.
You can get a drink and watch the British invasion.
That's great. That's the only way to watch an invasion.
Exactly.
With a drink again. this particular battle, I found what is interesting. I knew just a little bit about it. I never paid much attention to it. But this general, this British general, was it?
Robert Ross.
Robert
Major
Ross.
General, yeah.
And he was leading this crack troop of British soldiers after they ransacked D.C. and what is now the D.C. suburbs, making their way to Baltimore. But he was shot and killed by two young teenage privates.
That's the story, anyway. Who actually killed him is unknown, but since that day, people have been saying
these cats were hung for it.
That was a mistake in my story, actually.
You made a mistake in
your
story?
They were actually shot. They were not hung.
Oh, but they were killed for it.
They were killed. Yeah, there's two kids, 18 and 19. There's also some debate about how old they are, but their graves says 18 and 19. Henry McComas and Daniel Wells, they're buried down at the corner of Monument and Gay. There's the monument there. That's where their bodies were exhumed to. And, these two kids basically... essentially might have saved the country. I mean, this was like the most powerful military force on earth was marching towards Baltimore, the second wealthiest city in the country after having burned the Capitol. And these two kids with, I think they had like 30 some rounds between them and were sent out to fight the British and managed to kill the leader of British forces in America.
In all seriousness, though, I mean, this particular piece about this war, this was a war that most people thought was stupid to start with, but it started anyway, 1812. Mm-hmm. And New England threatened to secede at some point. They were angry about the war. But Baltimore, which you just said, was a powerhouse. It had the largest free black population of any place in the United States of America in these 13 colonies and defended itself with these less troops than the Brits had.
Initially. Yeah.
Then that grew to like 15,000, new articles?
Correct. Like there was 5,000 or so, 4,000 British Army, 1,000 British Marines landed in North Point where basically they outnumbered the American troops about 2-1 who fought and retreated and just bought time for the defenses to be built basically right where the pagoda is. That's Hampstead Hill in Patterson Park.
That was the battle lines. Well, the cannons in Patterson Park are those cannons, correct?
Yeah, there was basically 15,000 troops entrenched there with their cannons and waiting for the British Army when it got there. And some British gunboats came into the harbor to try and eliminate the defenders the night before, but they were unable to do it. And there's a lot of people think that if Ross hadn't been killed, the British would have pressed on and tried to take the city. He didn't have a lot of respect for American troops, but with his death, they turned back and saved the city.
So, what made you want to do this story?
I grew up in East Baltimore, and I remember one of the first things I remember was my dad taking me to see the reenactment of the Battle of Baltimore or the Battle of North Point when I was a little kid at Ballastone Mansion, and. I don't know. It just always had kind of a soft spot. And there's these two kids, you know, two 18 and 19 year old kid who arguably is responsible for the fact that there's a United States as George Washington or anybody else. And nobody knows their name outside of a couple of streets in Baltimore. You see McComas Street somewhere.
And that's who his name for. Who knew?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah. A lot of the names, the streets downtown, like they were in Asquith Street. That was Asquith Rangers was the unit they were in. That was the unit of sharpshooters. It's you know, the seal of Baltimore is the battle monument, you know, that's that thing on the flag.
And the seal on the sheriff's department is the seal for that battalion or something like that, right?
That's one I don't know.
I read that somewhere else.
Yes, whoever said that was very smart.
Yes, but the seal in the sheriff's office is that seal.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's basically entwined in the fabric of the city, and the War of 1812 provided a lot of Baltimore's greatest moments. There's also,
but what you didn't do was you didn't solve the mystery of who really killed the general.
No, and I've gotten hate mail from both sides saying it was definitely McComas and Wells. It was definitely a Killer Randall. And, you know, the historians I've talked to say we don't know. A Killer Randall is another.
Right.
He was in a unit of engineers who was also credited. His unit claims he did it. And then the rest of the... But I've been since reading up the history of Defenders Day and the history of the holiday itself. It started 1816 was already officially being recognized by the state, but more people died in some of the reenactments than died in the battles. Because these old guys would get in their uniforms and march from downtown to Edgemere and back. And just be keeling over, and they would have a fake battle, but they would be so drunk that they would often actually shoot each other.
It is so wild that what they do is, here's a battle that kind of broke the back of the British in 1814 and won the war for America, but all we remember is there's not like Battle of North Point, like the Battle of New Orleans song.
Mm-hmm.
And that battle was fought after the war was over.
Well, we do have the national anthem, so we did get that song. It's not a country classic from the 50s, but you know, it's got a little credit.
So, Jim, any last tidbit before we go?
You know, if you're there's a lot of activities coming, and check out starspangled200.org. And next year, on Defenders Day, this day next year, there's going to be ships in the harbor, British fireworks. It's going to be pretty exciting.
Jim Myers from town right here at Eastside. He's a comedian. He's author of Mad Dogs and Britons, In Search of the Roots of Defenders Day and A Cold Beer in Edgemere. This August issue of Urbanite Magazine, one of our Urbanite radio stories and conversations. And Jim, good to meet you again, and good to have you in the studio.
Thanks for being here, having me here.
Yeah, I have to be here. Folks, thanks all for listening very much to our conversations today. We'll have more for you in the coming week. A lot of interesting things coming up. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Cricket Aronson and Justin Levy. Our intern today is Mike Norris. We're engineered by Akisa Gunn. Our theme music is by Juan Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again, podcast any of our past shows, and hear new additional interviews, please visit us on the web at steinershow.org. And for public radio, WEAA 88.9. Oh, wait a minute. Look, who is that over there? It's Martha Reeves Jews. She's coming on next. WEAA's newest host. She'll be here in a minute. Stay tuned for her. For public radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.